the remembrance of Allah, the zikr of Allah, Qutb al-Aqtab, the house of his time. He was the Sheikh of the Arabs and the non-Arabs, Hazrat Maulana Ali Murtada Quddusirah. He would regularly mention and state, and I myself heard Hazrat saying this, that Allah's blessings and mercy and the barakat, the blessings of our pious elders, it's due to this that we are reciting Allah's name. And with pain, Hazrat Sahib would say this regularly, because these were the friends of Allah, pious people, and there was nothing fake in their actions or showing off. Whatever was pure and sincere in their minds and hearts, they would state and mention. And this is the scenario with regards to a friend of Allah. They don't say things for the sake of it. They say things that are reality. So this, in the way that he was a wali Allah, his maqam, his great status, his blessed statements, and for him to say these words, they hold a lot of weight and a lot of importance. Because to say the name of Allah is not something cheap, my brothers. It's not an insignificant thing. There are millions of people who cannot mention and say the name of Allah. And those who have the tawfiq to say it, they don't say it. Look at the difference. There are millions and millions of people that the name of Allah doesn't come onto their tongue. And those who Allah gives the tawfiq to remember Him, who gives them iman, they don't remember Allah Ta'ala's name. So for this reason, this statement that came from his blessed statement, Hazrat Ali Murtaza rahmatullahi, it's not a minor statement, that for a person to mention Allah's names on his, from his mouth, this is solely Allah's mercy, due to Allah's mercy. And it's the barakat of our pious elders, the blessings of our pious elders. Otherwise, how can it be that we do this action? So a person goes to a wali Allah, the friend of Allah, his emotions change, his situation changes, his circumstances change, because he's grateful, that person. He has recognition, he appreciates that this is a great treasure, great wealth. Because we get happy in the world due to certain reasons. If we get something nice that we didn't hope for, happens. For example, somebody gets a daughter, or somebody's thinking he's going to have a daughter and then he has a son, he's very happy. Or somebody thinks he's having a son and then he has a daughter, he's suddenly very happy, the family's happy. Or some unexpected news. And how much a person appreciates something. So this is the same thing. When Allah Ta'ala gives us the tawfiq, the ability to mention His name, then we should be extremely grateful to Allah. Allah Ta'ala says, the more grateful my servant is grateful to me and pays attention to me, the more I elevate him and rise, allow his status to rise. Always, when you sit towards the dhikr, whether you're on your own or in a majlis, in a gathering, or whenever Allah gives you the tawfiq to remember Him, that don't think that to be a minor action. Consider it to be a very big treasure that Allah Ta'ala is giving to us. That within, from millions of people are lost. And definitely it's Allah's special rahmah and fadl that He's allowing me to recite His name or to remember His name. Look how great an action this, brothers. An example that I'd like to give to you. That sometimes you see commonly, regularly at home, you see one thing inside houses, inside homes, you see what we call, for example, the back garden. If we take the back garden, you know, in the back of houses you have a yard or a garden. And from my experience, I've observed something, which is in some homes, you go to a person's house, you look, the back garden, it's very nicely cut and there's flowers and gardening's been has taken place and there's fragrance, nice flowers are visible and the sides have been tilled and prepared, greenery, and for a while you feel like sitting there, you want the sun to come out, you sit there. These are our homes. we can speak about. And then let's go and contrast somebody else's house, another garden. What do you see in the backyard? You see like it's a jungle and there's plants everywhere, overgrown weeds and flowers of dead plants, and there are overgrown weeds, etc. And it's like a jungle. It's not kept very well. So what's the difference? Both homes are the same. The same size garden at the back. One, it looks very nice, very well prepared, and the lawn's been cut, etc. And the other one looks barren or like a jungle. The difference is why? Because obviously the person who's kept his garden nicely and it looks nice, there's a reason that we can see that he's protected his garden, he's kept it up, he looks after his garden. And he puts the fertilizer on the grass and for the plants, and he waters the plants, and he roots out the weeds that are not necessary. He protects and looks after and keeps his garden well. And he protects the flowers and the plants from insects and other hazards, and so that nice flowers grow and nice fragrances come. The other person hasn't protected his garden, hasn't looked after it. So what happens? The weeds grow, they kill off the other plants, and things that you don't want, they grow. So my brothers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has in our bodies, it's like a garden. It's a place where things can grow. Our whole body, it's like a garden that should cultivate goodness. And if the hal, the circumstances of the garden, what type of garden do we have within us? The garden that you cultivate is the heart of the human being. The heart. Now somebody's heart is made, it's prepared, it's beautiful, it's been decorated. And some hearts are like that jungle, the garden's a jungle. So the difference is that one has protected his heart, cultivated his heart, looked after his heart. So nice flowers and plants of marifah, Allah's nearness come out. Good character comes out. The color of that garden of the heart is unique. The person who doesn't look after his heart, then what will be within the heart? Darkness and bad smells, bad thoughts, bad actions, whispering of shaitan, haram, lying, backbiting. Why? Because he hasn't protected and looked after his heart, so bad things emanate from the heart. You understand the point? So these two opposites, they make the heart. Those who protect their hearts, they become like the heart of the walis of Allah, the friends of Allah. Marifah, nearness of Allah increases. The more you protect a garden, good flowers grow, good plants grow, good scenery is visible. So those who look after their hearts, alhamdulillah, they are the walis of Allah. They become walis of Allah. How does a person become a wali of Allah? Not from tasbih. Not from spending days or months and sitting in isolation and sitting in the corner, or from ilm or amal. The wali Allah, friend of Allah, person gets close to Allah from one factor, alhamdulillah. What is that factor? That he keeps his heart clean, pure. The person, if his heart becomes clean, pure, and the person who protects his heart, then those qulub, hearts become such, Allah's marifah, Allah's ilham starts to descend onto that person's heart. Allah's inspiration, his heart and tongue are one. And such hearts Allah Ta'ala has mentioned and told us, the mu'mineen, their hearts, I am within their hearts. Imagine the state of that person whose Allah's remembrance is within them. What do? The difference is that if we are a bit cautious, we protect our garden. Say Subhanallah, Subhanallah. That's it. That's all we need to do. Very simple formula. Just think, just alter the mindset a little bit. It's a logical thought process that if you don't look after a garden, it becomes like a jungle, wild plants. If you don't look after the heart, what will the heart become? How will Allah's love come into the heart if we don't look after it? It'll just become a tradition, everything we do. When you swear and you'll pray, you'll commit fraud and do hajj, you'll read Quran and you'll consume people's wealth. You will say that I love Allah, and you love the Prophet ﷺ, and you break the sunnahs, you reject the sunnahs. So on these two contrasts, opposites, but the person who makes his heart, then he becomes one solid person, and he assigns himself to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala completely. Completely hands himself over to Allah. And we have a desire, you have a desire, we have a passion. So who doesn't have a passion So why don't we look at our defects that are there? All the defects within us, we don't look at them, we don't think about them, what's within us that's negative. The reason is our heart, we haven't protected it, we haven't looked after it, we haven't cultivated it. So it's not a minor thing we're discussing today. It's a very big point that, for example, if I don't look after my garden, it will be spoiled. But this is Allah's garden, the heart. Allah gave us this garden of the heart. This is Allah's, it's His. He controls it. Look, whose eye is this? It's my eye. Whose tongue is it? It's for my benefit. The nose for my benefit. I breathe. My mouth for my benefit. Teeth for my benefit. Hand for my benefit, my use. Stomach for my use. My feet for my use. And the heart, Allah says it's for me. I've given you the heart. Everything, all other limbs and organs are yours, but the heart is mine, Allah says. The heart is mine. Just one thing which is for the sake of Allah, and that's the heart. What have we done? Everything else, we've lost, and we've also lost our heart and given it away for something else. First we say, Allah, we've taken the heart away from you, given it to something. We can't do that. The heart has to be given to Allah. Yes, within a minute, we sell our hearts. Oh, that's it, I love this, or I love that person, or I love this. This is shirk. To not assign your heart to Allah. If you want to give your heart, give it to Allah. For the sake of Allah, everything else is temporary. You can't give your heart for temporary things. It has to be given for permanent things. So Allah Ta'ala says, this is my garden, the heart. So protect it. And Allah says, I'll protect it for you. I will tell you how to protect it. Say, Subhanallah, Subhanallah. So Allah says, that I'm not worried about the other things. Was when your heart is brought into line, then everything else comes into line. If the heart is spoiled, then everything else is spoiled. If the heart is black, barren, and spoiled, then such wild things will come out of the heart that will spoil our life. For example, we don't know, I don't know, you don't know, that what's coming out of our mouths, what are we uttering. We think that we're saying things that there's no significance in what we're saying, but Allah says, no, that don't say words without thinking, without understanding the impact. I'll give you a hadith to think about. There's a hadith in Sahih Muslim. There are two hadith on this subject. The merciful Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam stated that in the days gone by, there was an individual. And what did he do, this individual? Historic time. So, look here. We understand this point now. He said, I swear by Allah. He's swearing. He said, I swear by my Lord. This other person, Allah will not forgive him. Allah, I swear by Allah. This other person, he was referring to another person, Allah won't forgive him. The Holy Prophet was saying that this person said, I swear by Allah that this other person will not be forgiven. Listen to this statement. This is so common. So common. Why do we say this from our mouths? When a person argues with someone, is angry with someone, he says straight away, Allah will never forgive this person. He has oppressed me. Allah will never forgive this person. He has done X, Y, Z. You watch, Allah will never forgive him. Don't we say this regularly about other people? This is a common statement that's uttered by lots of people. When a person's heart is not made, when it's not protected, then these statements come from a person's tongue. So Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned this waqia, event, this subject. This is very important. You don't think it's important when the heart is spoilt. This is what results, because you don't protect your heart. So is this not the case, brothers, in society? Little points, we fight, we quarrel. Allah's not going to forgive him. Allah's never going to let him off. Watch how he's treated on the day of judgment, resurrection. And so look in the eyes of Allah. This Allah says this is a big weighty statement a person mentions. It should not come on our tongues, these statements. Remember this after today. Learn this for today. That when a person, when Allah hears this, so Rasulullah said, when Allah heard this man say this, Allah said, I swear as well. Allah is promised, and look, Allah's jalal. Yes, wrath. When a person curses another person, oh, Allah will never forgive this person, never let him off. Allah says, then I swear as well. I promise. I also promise. That individual that you're cursing, Allah won't forgive him. You're saying, Allah says, I forgive him. Allah says, I forgive him. I forgive his sins. And you, all your deeds that you are proud about, all your deeds are eliminated. Go to waste. Tell me, what a massive statement. Massive statement. Big punishment. Yes, that if a person goes to the hereafter in this way, all his deeds is hadith from Sahih Muslim. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has told us this. Pick up the hadith and read it. Read it. If we say, oh no, okay, let's go to another hadith. Brothers, not a minor matter. A person should learn from this. These words, how can I repeat these words again? That this person, XYZ, will never be forgiven. Allah will never let that person off. It's impossible. No, this is common when a person has a fight or quarrel, a dispute, and he gets angry and curses another person. Allah says, you see my Jalal? I swear also. I promise, that person you're cursing, doesn't matter how dirty and pure he is, Allah says, I've forgiven that person. And you, for saying that, all your deeds, good deeds, are wasted. They are eliminated. Another hadith in Sahih Muslim. There's another hadith. I'm not sure the narration. It may be a weak chain, but it's a rawaya. Nonetheless, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to such an individual, who, if one person, with reference to another person, if he reminds him of his sin, if he makes him ashamed of his sin, if he taunts him about his sin. If person A speaks to person B and he taunts him about his sin that he's repented for already, say subhanAllah, tawbah is a great action. Tawbah, repentance. If he's a thief, a bandit, a zani, he's done tawbah, that's it. Sin ends. What a big deed to do tawbah, repent. We say the wali Allah, go to wali Allah, do bayah, repent. Allah's opening a big door. That all his life, if he sinned, and via the company of Allah's friend, Allah has given the message to that sinner, because Allah gives means to take a person into paradise. It's not the case that a person can't get a solution. Allah creates a system for the sinful people like me. Allah wants this person to be forgiven. So Allah has devised a system, a process. That if you follow that process, Allah prepares someone, Allah announces, come, do tawbah, it's the night of Jummah, come, take my hand, and do tawbah to Allah, Allah will forgive you. This is according to Quran and Hadith, the person who plucks the courage says, I want to do tawbah. Allah announces there and then, that person is hal, who's done tawbah, immediately about that person who did zina, theft. If any person, if he reminds him of his sin and taunts him about his sin, then, oh, you're dirty, you're impure, you did this sin, today you've got a bed, so what? You've got an imam on your head, so what? Or if you think you're pious and a dhakir and you're a believer and you're practicing, you think you're good now, like we taunt other people. Yes, this is a common thing, isn't it? We taunt people, belittle them. If we become good and pious, then everyone else looks like a parrot to us. Yeah, like an owl. An owl. You know that owl? We think they're dumb. The person who doesn't look after his heart, then he taunts other people. This is the example. So look how Allah Ta'ala doesn't like this action. He dislikes this action. That when person A taunts person B who's done tawbah from the sins he committed, doesn't matter how bad he was, but after doing tawbah and in your majlis you speak against him, you taunt him, you remind him of his sins, or you sat at home, oh look, he's become pious now, he thinks he's good now, he thinks he's so good. Allah Ta'ala tells us, Allah swears again, Allah promises again, that listen, that Allah says, I've forgiven this person already, person B, I've got a connection with him, I've promised to the whole creation, a person if he's got sins from the skies to the earth, I swear, Allah says, if he asks me for forgiveness, I'll forgive all his sins. All his sins. Allah says, I decorate the majalis, I bring people to the gatherings, I prepare them, and I call them and invite them to the gathering, and I'm the one who takes people out of hellfire. Allah says, I've given duties to people to call others. Who are you to remind them of his sin? You used to do X, Y, Z. She was an impure woman you ran after. I know what you were before. You think you're pious now. Allah says, who are you to taunt him for his sins? Listen, I swear, I promise, Allah says, until that time you'll not die, until you don't implement all those sins that he did. Allahu Akbar. So if there's a person who's got a imam, a beard, a tasbih in his hand, he prays tahajjud and recites Quran from his mouth, and when he recites such utterances, Allah will take his imam off, he'll take his beard away, his attire will go, he will go to the bar. Allah promises that all those sins you're taunting him about, if you don't implement them until that time that you don't implement them, you will not die. Allah's promise. Then we think it's a minor matter. These two examples from Sahih Muslim, I've told you. So firstly, the sins have come in front of us. with an honest heart, we should promise to Allah, inshallah, Allah, our tongues, we will not let these utterances come to the tips of our tongues. Look how big these sins are. Don't laugh at anyone. Don't say bad to anyone. Don't look down anyone. You were this before. Look at you. You're going to get punished like this. Look how Allah's going to punish you. I'll never forgive you for what you did to me. Never say this to someone. Never. Who are we to say this? Who are we? No, do dua. Allah's fadl is for that person. Allah's grace is for that person. Allah totally dislikes actions where you taunt someone or belittle someone or curse someone. Okay? Because there are people who are close to Allah. And the wretched person in this world and hereafter, the most wretched would be that person who has kibr in his heart. Pride and haughtiness. And in the dunya and the akhirah, the highest maqam status would be with that person whose ajiz, sincere, humble and lowly. These two examples I've given to you. Why? That if our garden is not protected, say subhanAllah, the heart where I started our discussion. Because why do all these actions come about? Why do the weeds come into our heart and these wrong things come from our mouth? They will definitely come from our mouth, such negative statements. Such a garden, if you don't cultivate it, prepare it, look after it, then there'll be insects and scorpions and animals and darkness, and it'll be wild and barren. Eh? So never will you say good things if your heart is not looked after. Listen to the words of the Quran. Allah says, those who don't look after their hearts, no way, there's no way can that person be a person who will say good from his mouth. If your hearts emanate bad, if they think bad, if they're not clean and pure, then you will be sent towards the sin, towards the bars, towards alcohol, towards sins. So is it not necessary to look after our hearts? Do you understand what I'm saying today? Is it not necessary? Of course it is. And the person who looks after his heart, Allah promises, then I will make his heart the qalubi awliya, the heart of the wali of Allah. I will open the doors of marifah in his heart, my nearness in his heart. Do you understand what I'm saying? So two examples I gave to you. So Allah Ta'ala states, then look after your hearts, otherwise you will not be able to look after yourself in your life. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu dhkurullaha dhikran kathira wasabbihuhu bukratan wa asila. That the commentators of the deen have said, the dhikr Allah, remembrance of Allah, dhikr, the action, remembering Allah, Allah is saying himself, direct, look after your heart. If you want to look after your heart, do my dhikr, remember me, not a little bit, rather kathira, high quantity, abundance, masses of dhikr. And how? Morning and evening, lazim, essential, you should be sat in dhikr of Allah. Essential. These two things Allah has told us how to protect our hearts. Say subhanallah. And no wali Allah in the history of mankind, in any part of the world, whose name is recognized as a wali, who's been recorded as a wali, whether he's in a kitab or not, when you can see from his face he's a wali Allah, there's one attribute, he's a dhakir Allah. He remembers Allah. He can never protect himself without dhikr. His first quality attribute, he's immersed in Allah's dhikr. If a person doesn't do dhikr Allah, then his heart can be looked after. Allah says the protection and looking after the heart cannot be only done by one way, one method, by dhikr. And there are two tariqas of doing dhikr in the Quran, as mentioned. What's the first tariqa? Do dhikr kathira, abundance. Kathira, mufassireen have commented, the kathira dhikr, kathiran kathira is unlimited dhikr. No limit, no number, no quantity, without a limit. Unlimited. So is there any upper limit to kathira? No. If I say, bring mangoes unlimited. You say, unlimited? How many shall I take? You'll say this, won't you? Or if I say, unlimited, bring this for me. Collect all the flowers. You say, how can I bring unlimited flowers? Yes? So Allah Ta'ala says, kathir. Dhikran kathira. Unlimited dhikr. When you do my dhikr, do dhikr. Unlimited. No upper limit. Yes, you should not be able to count it. Recognize it. So when Allah Ta'ala said this, then He must have prepared the solution to do dhikr and kathira. That's why we've been in the hearts. Allah says, the more the beats of your heart recite Allah's name all life long, keep on saying with every beat of your heart, Allah. Allah, one beat of your heart should not go to waste, and it's not saying the name of Allah. That's when a person is doing dhikr and kathira. That's when he's doing abundance of dhikr. Allah said, you have to do dhikr from your heart. Remember me from your heart, not counting 100 tasbih, 300 tasbih, 300 beads. Only that person can do dhikr and kathira if he's doing dhikr in his heart. And he will be called in the akhirah, the person who did dhikr and kathira. the people, the woman, the man who did dhikran kathira, in abundance, high quantity, not dhikr of the tongue or the hand or the fingers, dhakir, but Allah says, I wanted you to be dhikr and kathira. You to do dhikr and kathira, it has to be done in the heart. Allah has prepared the method to do that. What's the method? Allah says, make your heart accustomed to doing dhikr. Make it used to doing maraqabat. First, the condition is kathir dhikr, qalbi dhikr, dhikr of the heart. The second condition, وَسَبِّهُهُ بُكْرَةً وَأَسِيلًا. Allah says you have to be in the morning, you should have no other action, straight salah. Hazrat Imam Mirbani Mujaddad Al-Thani Rahmatullahi Alayhi, Shaykh Sarhand Sharif Rahmatullahi Alayhi, may Allah's mercy be upon him. It was in his mamulat, in his actions, Mujaddad Al-Thani, the Mujaddad after 1000 years, he is the head of the Naqshband. Remember this. Naqshbandi Mujaddadi Silsila emanates from him. Naqshbandi came before him, to him, but after him, from Hazrat Imam Rabbani Mujaddad Thani, this title Mujaddadi was attached to the Naqshbandi order. Until today, the Naqshbandi Mashaykh, who are Naqshbandi proper teachers, they're all good teachers, proper, but the real, genuine Naqshbandi, who has been taught in asal, proper method, who sat with his teacher and learnt and been given permission, the soon as Fajr Salah ends, it has even ended, he's gone into Maraqabah. Immediate. Look at any Naqshbandi. Hazrat Mujaddad Al-Aftani, rahmatullah, this was his habit. Soon as Fajr Salah ended, immediately, soon as Jamaat ended, the whole Jamaat would go into Maraqabah until Ishraq, sunrise, the dhikr of Allah Qalbi, dhikr of the heart. Now this is for those people who understand and realize they need to protect their hearts. It's not a minor thing to protect the heart, is it? So how easy Allah Ta'ala has made it. How easy Allah Ta'ala has made it. The morning and evening, if a person sits in dhikr qalbi and he has niyyah, intention, you know, you have to force him, he doesn't want to, he doesn't feel like it. He has niyyah, intention, Allah's karam, grace, mercy, kindness. Allah's given his massive grace upon me. He's given me an opportunity, understanding, and I'm protecting my heart in this way. You have this passion, desire, and you have a want, and you sit with that want, not forcing, not counting, forcing, okay, I'll do it, I don't want to do it, but I'll do it. No. You should have so much desire and passion like the dunya. You're running a shop, you love running your shop. Isn't it? You love running your business. Okay, nowadays you have businesses running on computer, online sales, online businesses. All night long they sit in front of their laptops. Before you'd shut the shutter and close the shop, but nowadays the shop's not even closed. All night long online business, the computer's running, stocks being bought and sold. So this desire, passion, you should be like that. If you have the love for the stock of the world, then have love for the akhirah. We should have excuses, but we make excuses to not do. Oh, I can't do it, it's hard. Okay, don't do it then. Whose loss is it? Whose loss is it? Yours. Ours. Because Allah Ta'ala has decided, Allah has written, I can swear that the person who doesn't do dhikr in this tariqah, that Allah Ta'ala has defined, his heart in no way can be reformed or corrected. You can be grabbed by Allah any time, at any point of maqam, status, level of the any taqwa, ilm, you've got knowledge, you can be saying that you're cautious, but if you're not doing dhikr in that way, then I've given you the two examples. These were minor sins, you could say, look at the punishments. But Allah Ta'ala will make that person utter such statements because he's not protecting his heart. You'll see this, that if you don't protect your house, the thief don't come today, tomorrow, but eventually the thief will come in one day if you don't protect the house. Because if you have that fear, I don't know when the thief's going to enter. I'm going to need to lock my shop, my house, the shutter when I put the shutters down. It's not that the thief's going to come today. Nobody has this in his mind, the thief's going to come that day. You don't know. You lock the doors. You don't know that the thief's going to come today or tomorrow. There are many things I could tell you happened various times. I'll give you an example. Such an ajeeb event, incident, unique. It was Christmas time and quite a lot of sale of my stock took place. I had to go quickly to Birmingham. So I wasn't very clever. So I put all the money into a bag and I thought, okay, it's okay, I'll go. I had to go to Birmingham. There was money in that bag, and it was Christmas season, busy season. There was quite a lot of money. And then I drove the car, and the house I had to go to. When I got there, and I was putting the goods, and then I took the money and put it in the top room. just like a person takes, I put it onto the roof. Although I took all the other things, I put, and then it went. I forgot. I brought the money. I went in the morning. It was Christmas season. Went to another city. I took the stuff out of the car. Put the money on the roof of the car. Probably a few thousand in that bag. And just give an example. In the morning, breakfast time, 11, 12, midday, I bought something. I thought, where's my bag? Where's my bag? The money. They said, which bag? The bag's not in the house. I thought, what's up? Oh, maybe I didn't take it out. When I went outside, I saw that my bag was there. And the money was there. Allahu Akbar. Why? Because we don't know that how much Allah protects, but the thief could come and take it. So I'll give you the example that insan, he doesn't know at what time that Allah Ta'ala will make him utter such a statement that will waste all of his deeds. Oh, so he didn't protect his deeds. So the heart is such a thing that we need to protect it 24 hours a day. 24 hours a day. And we need to fear that time when death will take us. So there are two things that Allah Ta'ala has told us, that Allah then takes the responsibility for protecting us. Will we do this? A person who has khawf, who knows that any time I'm at risk, any time, like I give you the example, it cannot be that person will not be grabbed by Allah before death. If Allah Ta'ala has promised, if Allah Ta'ala is swearing and promising, doesn't matter what you are, and you are muttaqi or you have ilm, Allah has promised, all of your deeds will go down the drain. If you taunt someone, Allah says, I'll make you like an animal, a monkey, because you committed that sin. From your tongue, that sin has emanated, about which Allah Ta'ala has promised, the consequences will come in this dunya. But if you protect yourself, your heart, alhamdulillah, with the two things that Allah Ta'ala has defined, what? Qalbi dhikr you need to do in the second action, morning and evening sit. And Allah says, stop everything at the time of dhikr, run to dhikr, that this is the issue of life and death. That not, for example, for Jannah, this is for my life, for my betterment, so that with ease until death, I can protect myself and I can depart from this world with full 100% protection. Do you understand what I'm saying or not? So it's important, isn't it, for every man or woman, doesn't matter what level he's on. As if it wasn't for every person, then why did Hazrat Mujaddad al-Afthani need to do dhikr? Such a great personality from Mushayikh al-Kabirin, such great kitabs, he's written this ocean of ilm, of knowledge, the sea of knowledge. And his kitab is spread around the world. Did he need to sit in the morning and do maraqbah after fajr until ishraq sunrise? What need did he have to do this? Ask. Reason was this, that any time a person can slip and fall, if I don't do amalum what Allah said, then I don't have protection. And Allah has promised that any time such a statement could come out of your mouth, that's it. And you're a goner. I can give you examples of this. We've seen with our eyes. A person, yeah, he closes his eyes. I'm seeing that person, alim, a scholar, I swear I tell you the truth, such a big alim, a person, he is shocked at that time, such a farak, such a difference has come to their life. That person's worn libas, and then you look at him next time and he's standing naked. Look at the contrast, such a big difference. He had such a high level. You see a person on a high level, when I saw that person, oh my gosh, what's happened to that person? Where's that person dropped? Because the person did not protect his or her heart, had the ilm, had the knowledge, trusted their knowledge, their ilm, trusted their theory, but didn't understand Allah's words. Morning and evening, dhikr of Allah, qalbi dhikr, is lazim, essential, compulsory for the person who wants to protect his heart. Will we do this, brothers? Yes. That's the option. There is no other option. There is no alternative. Oh, I want to do deeds for thawab and get Jannah. This is very far away. We need to do this action, which is critical for our lives. Those brothers, any time our iman is in threat, I give you two very easy, simple, worldly examples. These both statements, incidents, do they have a power in front of us? We say all the time, oh, Allah's not going to forgive you. Look at the consequences of that person. Oh, look at this person who's taunting someone. Very common in society today. Then, but such a person who protects his heart, cleans his heart, purifies his heart, I swear by Allah and say, Allah will never let him say such negative statements from his tongue, because Allah is protecting that person. And he will depart this world with deen, with ilm, with Quran, everything will be protected. Allah says, he has obeyed my order, my advice, with fear that he doesn't want to waste his iman. He does qalbi dhikr morning and evening, he remembers me. May Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq, ability and capability. Ameen.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين شفيع المذنبين طه يزيد الحبيب الأمين اللهم صل على سيدنا مولانا محمد النبي الأمي وأزواجه أمهات المؤمنين وذرياته وأهل بيته كما صليت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد وسلم تسليما دائما أبدا كثيرا 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 اللهم اغفر لنا ذنوبنا وظلمنا وحسننا وجدنا وخطأنا وعمدنا كل ذلك عندنا اللهم ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار وقنا عذاب القبر وقنا عذاب الحشر وقنا عذاب الميزان وادخلنا جنة مع الأبرار يا عزيز يا غفار يا رب العالمين اللهم أعنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك اللهم ثبتنا على الإيمان وأمتنا على الإيمان وأشرنا يوم القيامة مع الإيمان يا قاضي الحاجات اقض حاجاتنا يا دافع البليات ادفع بلياتنا يا شافع الأمراض اشف أمراضنا اللهم عافنا في بدني اللهم عافنا في سمعي اللهم عافنا في بصري ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما اللهم رب ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا اللهم اغفر لنا ولوالدينا وأستاذينا ومشايخنا وجميع المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات الحياء منهم والأموات برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون والسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.